Amen. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate that good singing.
I'll be honest with you. I don't know if that's a song that I could sing from my heart. Those are some of the toughest words I've heard in a song in a long time. Lord, make me blind that I might see. Make me lame that I might be able to walk. You know, Paul said, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. In other words, when there's less of me than more of him, that's when I'm at my best. Amen? John said, I must decrease that he might increase. Amen? And the only way the Lord will ever increase in our life is we to decrease to self. Amen? Take your Bibles this morning. Turn with me to Acts chapter number 28. Acts chapter number 28. I had a great illustration I was going to use this morning, but I'm not going to do it because the crowd I was going to use the illustration with is not here. They weren't able to run our Carrollton bus route this morning because the bus broke down, so y'all pray they'll be able to get that fixed. But I've usually got a crowd of teenage girls sitting right here, and I was going to mess with them a little bit this morning, so they got spared. But anyway, Acts chapter number 28, if you're there, say amen. And by the way, before we read the scripture, let me mention we will baptize tonight. And I do have the baptistry running, so Brother Duane, if you'd keep an eye on that, I'd appreciate it. Acts chapter number 28 and verse number 1. Before we read, let me bring you up to where we are in the scripture. In Acts chapter number 26 and 27, the Apostle Paul is a prisoner on a ship. And before the ship ever sails, Paul tells them, this ain't a good day to sail, boys. It ain't going to be good. And they ignored the advice from the man of God, and they got out in the middle of the ocean, and sure enough, it wasn't a good day to sail. They hit some sure enough bad weather, and they were all fixing to abandon ship, and Paul gives that famous verse in Acts chapter 27. He said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. He said, be not afraid. Don't jump out of the boat. He said, listen, we're going to lose the boat, but ain't nobody going to die. That's what he told them. And they did take his advice that time. So the ship fell apart, and some of them floated in on boards, and anything they could grab, they floated into shore. So that's where we pick up in Acts chapter number 28. And the Bible said, and when they were escaped, when they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, they came a viper out of the heat. Now that ain't talking about a hot rod Dodge. That's talking about a snake. Amen? How many of you are afraid of snakes? Talk to me. The rest of you are weird. If you have a snake for a pet, you have problems. I stayed in a couple's home one time when I was preaching, and the little boy said, you want to see my pet? I said, sure. I'm expecting a hamster, a rabbit, a turtle, a fish. I don't know. He runs off to his bedroom, and his mama said, it's a snake. I broke out in a cold sweat. And he comes in the living room with this, I forgot what they call it, some kind of python. And he said, want to hold him? I said, no. He said, by the way, you're staying in my room. No. A snake came out of the fire, the Bible said, and latched on his hand. Snake bit. Again, if you have a snake, you're nuts. Okay? I love you. God bless your heart. But you're crazy. Amen? I hate them. I hate them. The viper came out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Verse number 4. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And the Bible said, and he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Now this morning, I just preached from this scripture a while back, and this is not the same message. So don't go to sleep and pretend like you've heard it before, okay? This morning, I want to focus on verse number 3. Where the viper came out of the heat and fastened on his hand. I was kind of amazed about that word fastened. I have been snake bit. Has anybody in here ever been bit by a snake? I've never been bit by a poisonous snake, but I have been. It's amazing. I have a great, great fear of them now. But when I was a kid, I played with them. I'd catch copperheads. I'd go fishing in the creek and see a copperhead. I'd grab him up, put him in my tackle box. I mean, I wasn't scared. Now I have a heart attack if I see a green snake. I've been bit by a snake, but you know what? I ain't never had one fastened. I had a hamster fastened one time. Got up on Christmas morning, got a hamster in a habit trail. How many of y'all remember those? And I got up, you know, half asleep, 6 o'clock in the morning, run my hand down in that cage, and that thing latched on. I danced around the living room shaking that rat. And I wasn't as good as Paul. I couldn't shake it off. It just hung on. But that thing fastened on his hand. Now, in the Bible, as we look at snakes throughout the Word of God, they almost always represent Satan, sin, or some type of evil. Always. We start with the serpent when we first find him in Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis 3 opens like this. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which God hath made. And he tempted Eve by casting doubt on God's word, and she took the fruit that God said not to eat, and she ate it. The serpent. All through the Bible, we find him as a serpent, or a type, or a picture of sin. Now here's the thought this morning. Sin does not just bite. It latches on. Sin does not just strike and it's over. When sin gets hold, it gets hold. Like a pit bulldog, and something has to pry the jaws off of your life. If I were to reach up under this pulpit and pull out a snake, how many of y'all would that bother? I was going to throw this in amongst them teenage girls this morning, but they ain't here. So Brother Dwayne, help me squeal like a girl, amen. If I were to throw a snake out in this crowd, if you're visiting with us this morning and you did not know, but this just happened to be one of them rattlesnake holding dancing churches, you'd freak out, wouldn't you? I'd freak out. I remember Brother Wendy Bagwell and the Sunlighters. They used to sing and be real popular in this area. And he always told that story about getting in that church. And they were there to sing and they didn't know it. But about halfway through the service, they started pulling out rattlesnakes and dancing with them. He said he looked around at his wife and said, "Do you see a back door?" She said, "Honey, they ain't one." He said, "Reckon where they want one." Amen. Every one of us, if we have any sense, we're going to go to great measures to avoid a venomous snake. If we were to treat sin in our lives with near the fear that we treat a snake. If Brother Eric Knight were here, who moved to Texas, and we threw a rubber snake that he knew was fake, he would still run. But yet, I, you, every one of us, in some shape or form, have a pet snake of sin. I remember reading the story about the lady who had the python and it got real big. And the story's gross. But the snake took showers with her. The snake slept in the bed with her. And one night while she's sleeping, her pet snake that she's raised from a little old baby. I mean, wasn't no bigger than a red wiggler when she got it. Just a little old bitty snake, harmless. Had him for years. And in the middle of the night, wrapped its coils around her throat and killed her. The snake that she said wouldn't hurt anybody. Are you with me this morning?
Yeah.
My granddaddy had a way of dealing with snakes. We had a garden, and we grew a garden every year, and it seemed like every year we'd have to get a snake out of the garden. And my granddaddy wouldn't say, get a gun. He wouldn't say, get a stick. He'd say, go get the hoe.
Yeah.
I'm talking about what you dig in the garden with. Go. Some people are looking at me goofy. I had to clarify. So I'd run to the barn and get the hoe, and Papa would take that thing and say, whop, and cut the head off the snake. Some of us have got some snakes in our lives this morning that the head needs to be cut off. I want to talk about this just for a few minutes, and I'll get you out of here early. I'm glad to tell you there is a cure for snake bite. There's a cure for snake bite. Did you know every snake's venom varies? Did you know non-poisonous snakes even have venom? You can get bit by an old black snake and he'll make you sick. But it won't kill you. What are you saying, preacher? There's some little sins that you can fool with and fool with and fool with. They won't kill you, but spiritually they'll make you sick. Amen? There's some snakes that can bite you, and you get bit by a copperhead. I was at the doctor one day. I used to coon hunt and had coon dogs, and we waded through the swamps in the middle of the night, and we'd take a stick and beat the cotton mouse off of us, and I mean, it was awful. And I asked my doctor one day, I said, what if I'm out in the middle of the woods, up in the Brazel Mountains, 5 miles from my truck in the middle of the night, and I get bit by a copperhead? He said, don't panic. Right. He said, don't panic. He said, take your time. He said, forget about your dogs. Take your time and walk to your vehicle and drive to the doctor. He said, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
I said, what if it's a timber rattler? He said, how far in the woods are you? I said, sometimes 2, 3, 4 miles. He said, don't panic. Put you on a tourniquet, cut it, do your best to suck the poison out, and hope you make it to the doctor. In Africa, they have a little snake. I don't know where Brother Warren went. His brother-in-law used to be a missionary there. They have a little snake. It's not very big at all, but it's called a black mamba. And they say if that black mamba bites you, just go ahead and lay down where you at. Because you are dead within minutes. Now sin's the same way. It varies on different levels of its venom. There are some sins that you and I can commit that destroy us immediately. And then there's some that we carry with us for years and years and years and years and years and years, and we don't realize the effect of it till we're dead. But I'm glad there's a cure. for snake bite.
Yes, sir.
Now, number one, let me just say this. We've all been bitten by the snake of sin.
Yes.
Every one of us. From the pulpit to the balcony.
Yeah.
From the president to the pope.
Yeah.
We've all been bit by the snake of sin.
Yes.
The Bible said in Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. How many of you would really readily admit you're a sinner?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's me. Did you know some people are offended if you tell them they're a sinner? Now, how dumb is that? That northern frigid weather dried my sinuses out so bad, and I'm having a battle with it this morning. If I were to go to the doctor who's trained to treat illness and said, "Doc, tell me what's wrong," and he said, "You have a severe sinus infection," wouldn't I be dumb to go, "Well, that offends me"?
Yeah.
I went to find out what was wrong. And he told me, why should it make me mad? You're in church for a reason this morning. There's something that drew you to the house of God. Many of us came in, of course, to worship God, but there are needs in our life. And sometimes the need is to be encouraged. But sometimes the need is to be told what's wrong. We're sinners, every one of us. The Bible said there's none good. No, not one. All our sin, or all our righteousness, he said, is as filthy rags. Thinks none of us good. You say, "Preacher, this is so simple." Well, let's get a hold of it.
Amen.
We've all been bitten by the snake of sin.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
I've been bit, you've been bit.
Yes,
oh, yeah. Now, listen. The bite of the serpent of sin is always fatal. If untreated, it is always
Amen.
Fatal.
Amen.
You say, "Preacher, I've been sinning a bunch and I ain't dead." If it's not dealt with,
Amen.
It will kill you.
Yes,
well, the Bible still says, "The soul that sinneth shall surely die."
Amen.
That started way back in the Garden of Eden when God told Adam and Eve, "If you eat off that tree right there, you will die."
Amen.
And you know what I imagine? I bet they're just like us. You know, they ate the fruit and they realized they were naked and they went and hid themselves and God cursed the ground and cursed the serpent and all this. And
yeah.
You know what? I bet old Adam, a few days after that, thought, "You know, he got on us pretty good. We got in trouble, but we ain't dead.
Yeah.
We didn't die. We're okay." He cursed you with childbearing, but them's good-looking boys. We're okay. We're not dead. But I wonder, one morning when Eve got up, ready to get the boys off to school, if she didn't look in the mirror and go, "My hair's changing color." And Adam's on his side of the sink, and he said, "That ain't nothing. Mine's falling out." By the way, Eve, what are those lines on your forehead and those bags up under your eyes? Looks like a crow put his footprint on the side of your head. What's going on? Years rocked on and they realized, slowly but surely, they were dying. Slowly but surely, they were dying. Hey, the bite of the serpent is always fatal if not dealt with. Thank God 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9 is still in the book. Hey man, we can confess our sin. He said, and if we do, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every one of us have probably committed some sort of sin already today. If not indeed, at least in thought. Amen. Already today. What's that mean? We need to get that thing cleaned up.
Amen.
Huh?
Right.
Let me ask you a question. If you were to step out in this churchyard and a copperhead bit you, Would you go get some help? You'd go to the doctor, wouldn't you? I mean, you'd freak out. I would. The snake bite wouldn't kill me. It'd be the heart attack. Amen. But yet sin bites us over and over and over and over, and it doesn't even bother us. The serpent, or the bite of the serpent, is always fatal. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. It'll kill you. Some of us are playing with sin that is going to kill us if we're not careful. Number one, I said we've all been bitten by the snake. Number two, I said the bite of the snake is always fatal if not dealt with. But thank God, thirdly, and I'm done, there is an antidote. There is an antidote. I want to tell you a story this morning about a missionary by the name of David Arnold. This is Brother Warren's brother-in-law's daddy, veteran missionary. Then his brother-in-law and sister became missionaries in the Ivory Coast in Africa. In the Ivory Coast, they practice all kind of voodoo and witchcraft. In every village had a medicine man. Brother Warren's brother-in-law was made popular in the Ivory Coast because the natives said he had the best medicine. I did not know this till I was hunting with them down in South Georgia. And I noticed every one of those guys, they were bird hunting and walking through those briar patches, Brother Freddie. Every one of them had a taser gun on their side. I said, why are y'all carrying tasers? You know, a shock thing. I said, man, ain't nobody gonna mug us out here. He said, have you seen the rattlesnakes around here? I said, yeah, I mean, they're that big down there, that big around. I've seen them, you can't even get your hands around. I said, you gonna tase a snake? He said, no, you idiot. He said, didn't you know that if you get bit by a snake, you can take the taser gun, and because of the power that that thing puts out, you can start above the bite and shock yourself all the way down to the bite, and the power from the taser gun nullifies the poison. I did not know that. That missionary discovered that in Africa, and they would bring children to him bitten by black mamba snakes, and he would shock them with a cattle prod. Do you see the picture this morning? What some of us need is to bring our snake-bitten selves down to this altar and pray God by the power of the Holy Ghost to nullify the venom that has been injected into our lives. There is a cure. There is a cure. Woo! Ain't you glad? I love what old Brother Earl Hughes said. That old Georgia mountain preacher got more wisdom than most with doctor's degrees. He said, they asked him one day, said, Brother Earl, what if we could take your whole life and put it up on a big screen for everybody to see? Brother Earl, as witty as he is, he said, give me about 5 minutes, you can put whatever you want up there. What was he saying? He said, you give me 5 minutes with God, all you're going to have is a blank screen. You give me 5 minutes alone with my Savior, you give me an opportunity to get all those sins you're wanting to flash up. You give me a minute to get them up under the blood, and all you're going to see is nothing. Hallelujah. Some of us need tased this morning. And we ought to pray and get on this altar and ask God to taser our sin. Yes, amen. Amen. Why carry it? Why bear it? Yes, brother. When He already took care of it for us. Yes, Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, the Bible said, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible said, He who knew no sin became sin for us.
He bore on himself, the Bible said, the iniquity of us all. What do you say? He took my snake bite, and he took your snake bite, and he took the whole world's snake bite, and he nullified the venom at Calvary. And all we've got to do is ask him for it. It's free. I left out part of a scripture a while ago. I said the Bible said in Romans that the wages of sin is death. Did you know that verse doesn't stop there? It goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior. Amen? Ain't you glad about it? Somebody give me a witness. Clap your hand. Say hallelujah. Ain't you glad your sins are gone this morning? Oh, yes. You say, preacher, you don't realize what I've done. Maybe you don't realize what he did. You don't realize the magnitude of my sin. You don't realize the magnitude of his sacrifice. His sacrifice is always greater than your sin. I love that old song. It says, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. I'm glad when the old accuser, the devil, goes before God and accuses the brethren. And the Bible said that he is the accuser of the brethren. I'm glad when the devil points out my sin, God is looking through. I said, God is looking through some blood-stained glasses. And he said, I'm sorry, smutty face. All I can see is the blood of my son. I don't see sin. All I see is holiness. All I see is righteousness. He may be wicked. He may be bad. But all I see is the blood. Some of us ought to just get under the spout this morning where the blood runs out and get victory from the venom. The snake, listen to me, has bit some of your teenagers. And he didn't bite and back off either. He latched on. The snake has bit some of your marriages. You say, Brother Eddie, how long you and Sister Angie been married? 25 years. And I don't say that begrudgingly. It's been awesome. But you know what? There's been days, Brother Todd, you've seen her mad. There's been days when she wanted to kill me. There's been days if she'd have had a loaded gun, y'all'd be forming a pulpit committee. There have been days I wanted to kill her. I love you, honey, but there have been days I wanted to know just how far her eyes would bug out if I choked her. I've laid in the bed and thought about just taking the pillow. Come on, you bunch of chicken men. You ever been riding down the road and she's driving from the passenger seat and you're praying under your breath the door will fly open and she'll fall out? State trooper pulled a guy over one day and he said, officer, was I speeding? He said, no, but your wife fell out of the car 3 blocks back. He said, thank God, I thought I went deaf. We've had trouble. We've had trial. But through 25 years, we've had to come to the doctor over and over and over and over and get shocked and get shocked and get shocked again and again. Some of you, you need to get that teenager under the blood. Some of you need to get that marriage under the blood. Some of you need to get that mouth. Under the blood. I don't know where Jazz at this morning. One of them bus kids cussed her out last week. Oh yeah. He said, well, is there any hope? Yeah. Whatever it is.
Yes, sir. Amen. That's good for you.
Whatever it is.
That's right.
Whatever you've done.
Yes, sir.
Wherever you've been.
Yeah.
Get to the cross cause love.
Yeah.
And the blood
covers all sin. He's still faithful and He's still just. I was going to go to Numbers and show you that serpent on the pole and show you where Christ became a serpent for us. And He overcame death, hell, and the grave. Those barbarous people who watched Paul, those lost men and women who built on the fire, those lost folks when that snake latched onto his hand, you know what the Bible said? They watched. This world has seen us bitten by the snake. And they're waiting to see if we're going to swell up and die. Amen. Let's show them something different. Let's show them, even though we're human, even though we're faulty, we're full of failures and mistakes. Anybody like me ever feel like it don't matter how hard I try, I mess up? Anybody like that say, that's me, man. I foul up everywhere. I think, I can't believe I've done that again.
Come on, brother. Yes, sir.
But let's show them when we mess up, we can get it right.
Amen.
I'm glad I don't have to go get in a closet and look through a knot hole and tell a knot head about my sin.
Amen.
You say, that's mean. There's no sense confessing my sin to somebody who can do nothing about it. But I'm glad the Bible said I have an advocate with the Father. I'm glad the Bible said there is one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. Amen. He is my high priest. I don't have to have Brother Freddie go to God for my sin. I don't have to go to Brother Freddie and say, Brother Freddie, I messed up this week. Would you see if God will forgive me? I don't need Him. All I need Him for is a friend. And keep the heat off my back. And He does that pretty good.
Amen.
Oh yeah. Y'all just mess with me and see. He'll be on you. He's half Alabama and half pit bulldog. Amen. I don't have to go to Him. I can go to God all by myself. Huh? I had a lady in our church to die. I was out of town. I called her on the phone and I said, sis, I'll never forget this. It's Sister Edwina Connell's sister, Rhonda. I was in Hammond, Indiana. I called her on the phone. They said that she was dying. And I said, Sister Rhonda, it's Brother Eddie. She said, I thought you was out of town. I said, I am. I just called to see about you. I said, sis, I done called the airport. I said, I'll get a ticket and I'll come home right now. You know what she said? She said, Brother Eddie, I love you. She said, I know you'd come home right now. She said, but I don't need you for this.
Yeah.
I thought, my. I'd love to be there just as your friend and hold your hand, but you know what? You're exactly right. You've got all you need for this. You've got Christ as your Savior. You don't need me to come pray your last rites. She'd already taken care of that herself when she bowed in the altar and trusted Christ as her Savior. Hallelujah. You know what she said? I'm on my way to heaven, but the snake bite's been cured. Brother Todd, would you come? Let's just stand our feet together this morning. I wonder how many would be honest and say, I've been bit. And I ain't just been bit, but it's latched on. And if I don't get some help, it's going to kill me. Heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. I wonder if there might be one here today that say, Brother Eddie, if I died right now, I'm not sure heaven would be my home. I know I'm a sinner. I know I am.
And I just don't know. If you can really know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, I'd like to get that settled in my heart. I wouldn't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. But I would like to pray for you. If you'd just slip up your hand, say, "Preacher, I'm not sure about my soul. Please pray for me." Anybody? Just stick it up and put it right back down. I'm just going to pray for you. God bless you, ma'am. God bless your heart. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. Anybody else? Preacher, God bless you, ma'am. God bless your heart. Listen, I wouldn't die and go to hell for nobody. I wouldn't die from the bite of sin, not as long as Calvary is available to me. You know what the Lord said? He said He wasn't willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. Some of you need to just bring your snake-bitten self to the altar and ask God to forgive you of your sins. Anybody else? "Preacher, I'm not sure about my soul. Pray for me." Just shoot your hand up. Thank you so much. I wonder, I hesitate to even ask, but I wonder how many of us are here this morning that say, "Preacher, I've been trying to fight this snake by myself. I haven't just been bit, but he's latched on in my life and I can't get him off. Please pray that I could get this under the power of God," whatever it is. It may be a little bitty sin of overeating. Whatever. Pray for me, preacher. Anybody's hand up besides mine? God bless your heart. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name, God, that you made a way out. Lord, when we're wicked and when we're bad, Lord, that's not an excuse to sin, I know, and sometimes we use it like it is. But Lord, I am so glad, Father, that we can bow our heads before you and find forgiveness for whatever we've done in our lives. Lord, you saw the hands this morning. God, no telling how many didn't even raise their hand that are wrestling and struggling with sin in their life. It's about to destroy them. God, I pray they get some help. Their marriage is in trouble. There are teenagers in trouble. There are homes that stand in jeopardy this morning. God, I pray you'd help them. Lord, you saw the hands of those not sure about their salvation. Lord, I pray they'd get that under the blood this morning. Father, please don't let them leave here lost. Have your way in this invitation. Lord Jesus, we'll thank you and we'll praise you. For it's in your name I pray. Amen.